This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Alexander Calder invented the mobile. Maybe you knew that, maybe you knew it once and you'd forgotten, but take a moment to consider how utterly amazing that invention is. Mobiles are everywhere. They hang over just about every baby's crib and every classroom, children's museum, toy store, and candy shop in America. They are whimsical and delightful. But in Paris, in the 1930s, making a sculpture that moved through suspension and wind power had never been done before. Calder's background as an engineer is credited with helping him develop his now famous formula for balance and motion. The current exhibit at Duke's National Museum called Alexander Calder and Contemporary Art, Form, Balance, Joy focuses on Calder's work and his influence on the current generation of artists. Sarah Schroth is senior curator at the National Museum, and she joins me in the studio now. Welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you, Frank.
How is this Calder exhibit, or is it different from other exhibits?
Oh, it's totally different. It's the first major exhibition that talks about Calder's relationship with contemporary art. There have been Calder shows, but there's never been a show where Calder is shown in juxtaposition with the young artists who are turning back to him. I mean, these artists that are working now, young artists.
Why are they? Why are they attracted to Calder?
Well, it's interesting. The curatorial concept, this was organized by the Museum of Contemporary Art in Chicago. And that curator, who is very tuned in because she's right there with the Art Institute of Chicago, she's very tuned in to the education at art schools. And she noticed that right around the time, of course, of Calder's death in 1976, in the 70s, it was minimalism. It was the end of pop. It was conceptual art, all this intellectual, theoretical emphasis, and feminist art, political art. And so this old tradition of learning a craft, a skill, and passing that on for a student to express themselves through, that went out the window. And but then in the 90s, things started to change around, and you saw artists coming out of art school who were using their hands, who were, really interested in sculpture, not just, video, but the real thing. And she started putting two and two together. And these artists, when she talked to them, many of them would say, oh, Alexander Calder's my hero. I wasn't allowed to talk about him in art school, mind you, but, he was my hero.
Well, and that's because he had really fallen out of favor.
Yeah. Yeah,
for a couple of reasons. Number one, because it's in some ways representational. I mean, it was pretty. It hung. It did something. It was functional in a sense.
Yeah, abstract. But and it was, part of it was his success. His fame, his popularity that, in some ways, the art world, he was totally popular all through his life. But right in the 70s when he died, right around that time, he just fell out of favor in the serious art world.
Mm-hmm.
But we've all always loved him, right?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Children have always loved him. It's just, he's an amazing guy.
I think that brings us to just how incredible the mobile is because, we've grown up seeing them. But tell us about the impetus behind it. What was he thinking when he designed these?
Well, there's a great story. When he was in Paris, he was trained as an engineer. And he took a few engineering jobs. He graduated from the Stevens Institute of Technology in Hoboken in 1919, right? And he started taking a few of these jobs that didn't interest him. And finally, he took a few classes at the Art Students League and then went to Paris. And that's when he decided, he was really an artist. He got into the circle with all the other abstractionists, Juan Miró, Ferdinand Léger, Man Ray, Marcel Duchamp, they were all there. And Calder was this, I wish I would have been able to meet him because he must have been a barrel of laughs all the time. You can always see him. He's like this big smile on his face. And he was joyful and happy, and he made friends immediately. And so once he went to Mondrian's studio, and the great, Dutch abstractionist Mondrian, and he saw that Mondrian had these squares on his on his studio wall, on the white wall. And Mondrian would use those and move them around and then do a painting, you know, based on this modular unit of color. And Calder said, oh, wouldn't it be great if those oscillated? And Mondrian goes, no. Mondrian says, absolutely not. No, I'm a painter. And so, long story short, Calder went back and started thinking about colored shapes moving around in space. And like many artists of that time, there were others who were trying to make sculpture move. That was going to be the next thing. And they were using motors. But the motors would break. And so Calder, trained as an engineer, said, well, what else can make them move? Well, if you suspend it, you know, from the ceiling on a cable, and wind current, you know, will make it move. And that was the invention. And it changed the history of sculpture. I mean, nobody had done it before. It was totally avant-garde. And we don't think of it that way. Right. I mean, we forget, you know. I mean, of course, we weren't there in 1927 when it happened. But it was an amazing invention. And it's so great at this exhibition.
Did it change art, the art world, just the notion of the suspended and sort of natural air currents moving things? Or was it just sort of in his own world?
No, it changed the art world. I mean, it's, you know, there are other artists, lesser ones, I would say. I mean, they didn't quite have his genius, but that went on and did, you know, sculpture that moved. George Rickey comes to mind, the American artist, several. But I think he changed the concept of sculpture as this, as a figure. I mean, he introduced abstraction, really, to sculpture.
He took sculpture off the pedestal.
He took sculpture
off the pedestal.
Absolutely.
But now this business of balance and delicate balance, given all the weight, is kind of a challenge for mounting this exhibit.
It was incredible. My appreciation for Calder just increased, you know, 100% installing this show. It takes 10 men to install one mobile. And that's because they all come in parts. And until the very last section is hung onto the overall piece, it won't balance. And he hand-painted everything. And so, you know, you don't want pieces to clink against one another. And so you just, you have to hold them steady, and it takes all these people to do it. And then at the very last minute, the last piece goes on, and you take off your hands and you stand back, and then it finds its own balance. And we did it differently in our museum than had been done in the past. I was very, very interested in treating each one of the Calders like a piece of sculpture, like individually isolate it, put it at the right height, get the right wall color, you know, for them. And so it was just it was just an incredible thing to work with these works.
Wall color in the sense that you want it to be contrasted against, or also, I guess, shadow. That would make a difference in
sculpture,
right? Exactly,
exactly. And you've got it, because the wall color can make or break an exhibition. I mean, people don't think about it. Yeah. But and as when I saw the exhibition in Dallas, where it was before, there were white walls. And so I said to myself, well, you know, I can't see the white elements in the Calder. And so let's not do white walls. Let's think of a color. And, you know, he uses primary colors, red, blue, yellow. Sometimes he mixes red.
Orange.
Yeah. Sometimes he mixes red and yellow and makes orange, but okay. That's it. That's the only mixture. And black and white. So I was sort of puzzled. You know, you don't want to take away from any one of those colors. So what do you do? So I started looking at books and seeing professional photographers, when they shot a Calder mobile, what their background was. And the best photographs had a gray background. So we went to work trying to find the right gray. I mean, 20 cans of paint later, we found the right gray. And so it does. It makes a nice, and it's very elegant. It makes a nice contrast.
The other change you did is that rather than in some exhibits of this particular show, got all the Calder in one room and all the influence in another, you mixed them up.
Right. Yeah, I mixed them up. I really wanted to mix them up because I think it's fascinating to see these kids coming right out of art school and deciding, oh, well, I'm going to hang my work, you know, from the ceiling. I'm going to bend wire. I'm going to, you know, use recycled materials, because Calder was famous for that. In fact, there's this beautiful little piece. Well, there's several pieces where we have that in the show, but the favorite seems to be his bird, and it's made out of a coffee can and beer cans that he cut and snipped and bent, and old wire. And so these artists, these young artists, are starting to pick things up off the street and make art with them, just like Calder did. So I wanted there to be a one-to-one relationship, you know, not just say, oh, well, Calder's in one gallery and the moderns are in another. So we've mixed it up.
That sounds great. And speaking of kids, they love this, don't
they? Oh, my goodness. We have had 2,000 children, K through 12, a month come through. And it's so popular. And, you know, Calder himself said, you know, that the kids just, you know, children just intuitively understand his work because it is so joyful and it moves. And, you know, it's just been totally popular with the kids.
Great introduction to art, too, because then you look at that, they're excited, then you use the word art, and it's forever stamped on their consciousness.
Exactly, exactly.
Sarah, always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks
so
much.
Thank you.
Sarah Schroth and Nancy Hanks Sr. is the Nancy Hanks Senior Curator at the Nasher Museum of Art at Duke. The Alexander Calder Show closes June 17th on Father's Day. That's at the Nasher in Durham. Next up, the story of German U-boats on the North Carolina coast. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.